Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral. And wow, am I excited. I am so excited because we have someone in the studio that I admire so much and respect so much and has brought so much to this Diocese of Orange. And it's the Most Reverend Timothy Fryer, the Auxiliary Bishop for the Diocese of Orange. Welcome to the show, Bishop.
Thank you. It's always good to be with you.
It's fantastic to have you here. And the title of the show is The Call to Evangelize. That word is scary for a lot of people, and it doesn't feel like a Catholic word, but tell us, why should Catholics embrace the call to evangelize, Bishop?
You're right. I think many people think it's not a Catholic word, or it's a scary word, or that it's something that we don't have the skill set to do. But to me, it's analogous to you love your wife.
Amen.
And you want people to see what a great woman she is, and you want people to be able to meet her and to respect her and to be in a relationship with her. And as Christians, we love Jesus Christ, and so wouldn't we want other people that we know and care about to know about him, to love him, and to fall into love with him and be in relationship with him? So it's just sharing how God is so good to us and allowing the people that we know to say, yeah, you're right. My life is empty because I don't have this relationship.
And when you think about it, my brothers and sisters, don't you like to tell people about the good things happening in your life?
Exactly.
You know, something happened, you got a promotion, a raise, certainly with your children, right? You know, man, they got some award, you want to tell everybody. And you're so excited to spread good news. And what does the word evangelization mean?
So really, it is just that. It's spreading the good news, inviting people to learn about Jesus Christ, to see how much God loves us, that he gave us his only son, so that as we hear in Scripture, that anyone who believes in him may have eternal life, which gives us hope in the midst of all of our sufferings and sadness. And Jesus, in turn, loves us so much that he's willing to suffer and die on the cross, rise again, opening the gates of heaven for us, forgiving our sins, and sending us the Holy Spirit so that we'll never be alone. So evangelization is really just proclaiming all this good that God is doing for us and continues to do.
And it's so exciting. You know, there's nothing more exciting than sharing your faith and to give people hope in Jesus Christ. Because, as you know, Bishop, we have Spirit-Filled Hearts, our ministry, and a ministry of evangelization and healing. And when we pray over people and ask them, what would you like us to pray for? I mean, there's so much brokenness, there's so much pain and suffering in terms of a variety of different things. And people are looking for hope. They're looking for Jesus to come into their life. And Jesus is saying, come to me. And that's a big part of what evangelization is just opening up our heart to say yes to him, in which we can invite him into our heart, our mind, and our soul.
And I think that sometimes people have heard the message that you're not good enough to draw to him.
Amen.
And we have to say, Jesus loves us at all times. Look at the encounter he had with the Samaritan woman, where she hadn't been married 5 times. She's now living with man number 6. She'd been excluded from the community because of her infidelity. He breaks all kinds of rabbinic law, engaging her in a conversation, knowing that she was a great sinner. And all he wanted was he thirsted for her salvation. If we're in the deepest, darkest point of our life, that's exactly when Jesus says, come to me, and I will heal you. I will give you hope. I can begin that process of reconciliation and forgiveness.
One of the most important phrases, two words, that St. Mother Teresa had within her call, within a call, is said on the cross, that Jesus said to St. Faustina. The two words are, I thirst. Jesus thirsts for souls.
Yes.
And when we understand that, we can be part of really that solution of Jesus working through us.
Yes. Jesus thirsts for us. He wants us to be with him in heaven. He loves us so much, of course, he gives us the free will to reject that. but he hungers and thirsts that we would be with him for eternity. And he provides us all these means so that we could have access to him through the sacraments, through his word, through the prayer of the community, through our time in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the intercession of Mary and the saints. He's trying so many different ways to touch our hearts because all he wants is for us to love him. And some people think, well, I don't know what to do when I pray, and so I don't pray. And it doesn't matter what you're doing when you're praying, it's just spending the time with him. It's, again, a couple in love. Do they really care if they have Italian food or Chinese food? When they're head over heels in love, the food doesn't matter. What matters is being with one another. And that's what Jesus wants. You can pray the rosary, you can read scripture, you can sing hymns, you can just pour out your heart. And all Jesus is saying is, come to me. I thirst to be in this relationship with you.
My brothers and sisters, take a look at scripture. Open up your Bibles to John 15, the vine and the branches. He wants us connected to him. He is the vine. We are the branches. Abide in me as I abide in you. Remain in me as I will remain in you. And he tells us in John 15, 16, that he has chosen us. We haven't chosen him. Chosen us and appointed us, anointed us to bear fruit. And that fruit is really telling other people that Jesus loves them unconditionally. And so many people think they have to earn their way into heaven, that they have to be perfect. But Jesus says that I love you exactly where you are.
Yes. And I remember when I was in a parish, I would overhear people tell me things such as, when I grew up, my mom said, if you don't make your bed, God is going to punish you. If you don't eat your peas, God is going to punish you. And so this child grows up, and the image of God is this punisher that's waiting for you to do one small thing so he can send another punishment upon you. And then we wonder why they're not at church. Well, if I grew up with this image of God that just almost hates me, I'm going to hide so I'm not on his radar. But when we start speaking of that unconditional love, that even in the midst of sinfulness and brokenness, God is loving you, and then he walks with you toward holiness, and you find the joy, the peace that comes from being with Christ's presence, best thing that we can do is to change that narrative to say that God is not waiting for us to do something so he can punish us, but rather he's waiting for us to return so that he could show us that he loved us in the midst of our sins as he forgives us in confession.
And the prodigal son shows us that.
Yes.
Always waiting, always watching, and running to us.
Yes.
Which is so important. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You are on Empowered by the Spirit with the Most Reverend Timothy Fryer, Auxiliary Bishop of the Diocese of Orange. And you have a huge blessing to be responsible for evangelization within this diocese, correct?
Correct.
And what does that mean as it relates to what is the vision for the diocese and in bringing the word of God, the evangelization, and having it, as Luke 12:49 says, I wish to set the world ablaze. I wish it was already on fire to have that blaze of the Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit in all of our parishes. Is that a big part of what evangelization is about?
Exactly. And we've had a strategic planning process that is focused on evangelization and faith formation as one of our primary goals, that every parish would be a center of evangelization. Every contact that a person should have on our parish grounds should be an encounter with Christ. So we're talking about initiatives such as an orientation for all of our employees, from faith formation people to business people to secretaries to janitors, that every time somebody comes to them, there should be an opportunity to be a disciple and to share Christ with them. So, for example, I've talked with a number of our pastors and said, if somebody comes and says, I'd like to buy a candle, great. But why don't you ask them, well, is there something you'd like to pray for right now? Because most people buying a candle want to buy it because mom is sick or my brother's looking for a job. And let's start having those encounters of prayer that the candle business isn't what we're about. We're in the business of salvation of souls and praying. And that if a person comes to faith formation, that yes, it's important to learn about Jesus, but more importantly, it's to fall in love with Jesus. And so we need to revamp our catechesis so that the catechesis is, first off, evangelization. Because if I were in line for the movies and I didn't know you and you came up and you started telling me about your day, one, I think you're crazy. And two, I'd hope that as quickly as possible I could get away from you so I can just mind my own business and go back to my phone and look through my social media as I'm standing in line. But if I knew you and you came to me, I'd want to say, hey, Deacon Steve, how you've been? I haven't seen you. When we have the relationship with Christ first, then we'll naturally want to know all about him. But I think we've been catechizing people that haven't had that relationship, and so they walk out of catechesis, and we ask them, so what'd you learn? About God? We need to make all of our programs, I think, evangelizing before we begin the process of catechesis. So that's another area that we're trying to work on and help our parishes be centers of evangelization so that everybody coming on campus will find some experience of Christ, will have an experience of prayer, consolation, and falling deeper in love with Jesus.
I think I hear angels singing in heaven right now, you know, hallelujah, 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 because that's exactly what our faith is meant to be. And St. Pope John Paul II said it's our supreme duty to evangelize. And so many people see, well, just priests and deacons do that, but that's not true. Everyone's called to do that.
From the moment of our baptism, when we're incorporated into Christ, who is priest, prophet, and king, at that moment, we're invited and actually called to be members of Christ, who is a prophet, which means not that we're going to foresee the future, but we're proclaiming the message of God in all of its glory and challenge. We're participating in Christ, who is priestly, and we're offering our sacrifice and kingly, that we're good stewards of the gifts. But once we're baptized, we're part of that body of Christ, and at that moment, we've been missioned to go out and to bear fruit, as you said, fruit that will last. And then the Holy Spirit gives us the wisdom and the courage and the fortitude and the knowledge to do so even more effectively when we're receiving the sacrament of confirmation. But from baptism, we're called to be those missionary disciples.
And you think about, my brothers and sisters, you think about what happened when Jesus was ready to ascend into heaven. You see this in Acts 1. You see this in Matthew 28. You see this in Mark 16. Right before he's leaving, he has his last words. And what does he say? He says, go into the world and make disciples of all nations. He says in Acts 1:8, soon you'll receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and then you'll be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. And so he's giving his marching orders to say, make a difference. Make a difference by sharing my love, because that's what it's all about. It's about the love of Jesus. And when we share the love of Jesus, we'll never regret it. We'll never regret it, because it's the greatest gift we can give someone.
Yes, and they may choose not to receive it, and that's okay. Our responsibility is not to force them to receive it. Ours is to plant the seed. Jesus used the example of the seed that is planted. Some might be rejected, but others will bear fruit of 30 or 60 or 100-fold. We're called to just bring that person to a knowledge of Christ, an encounter of Christ. They, in that moment, may not convert, but maybe a week later, they're still thinking about that, and they'll begin that process, or a month later, or a year later. I can't tell you how many times I've been with people on their deathbed who have been saying things like, I thought about this 15 years ago, but I just wasn't ready. But I still remember when so-and-so told me about God's love, and it's always been there. And for whatever reason, I just never pursued it. And we don't know the power that we have when we plant those seeds.
My brothers and sisters, the power of the spoken word, the rhema, the word of God coming through us is so incredible. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back. My brothers and sisters, I have something very exciting in addition to what we've talked about to talk to you about. And that is a new book that I've written called Be Not Afraid. I was so motivated by the Lord to write this book as the coronavirus, the COVID-19 was breaking, to give people hope, to give people faith. It is a book that isn't terribly long, 116 pages. But it is easy reading, but it's powerful reading. It is a book with power of the Holy Spirit to give you how to have faith in the midst of fear, how to have courage, how to turn to the Blessed Mother, how to turn to the Holy Spirit, how to let Jesus fill in your hearts and souls. Be Not Afraid is exactly what the title is about. It is about having faith. It is about having courage. It is not about fear. As Scripture says, perfect love drives out all fear. Now, what is our program on Be Not Afraid? We are soliciting donors that will help us we are really discounting it tremendously because we want to give these out for free. The book is discounted from $15 to $5 a book with a minimum order of 100 books. And if you order 100 books, you can give them out to your friends. You can give them out to various ministries that you're part of. And we're hoping the entire parish will adopt it. So, for example, if you have a parish, you can get together some people and donate the books for free for your parish. And it's called Be Not Afraid. You can see it online right now on Kindle Amazon. We have a Kindle book, Be Not Afraid, you could take a look at if you want to read the content. But this is a book that we really want parishes to adopt because people need hope right now and they need tools on how not to be afraid. So please contact us at DeaconSteve@SpiritfulHearts.org. Contact us at DeaconSteve@SpiritfulHearts.org. Go to our website, SpiritFilledHearts.org, and find a way of supporting us. And please thank you in advance for supporting us in prayer. Thank you in advance for supporting us financially and to having a gift given to your parish. God bless you all. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. Welcome back to Empowered by the Spirit. We are so blessed to have the Most Reverend Timothy Fryer, Auxiliary Bishop to the Diocese of Orange, with us talking about the title, The Call to Evangelize. You know, one thing that comes to mind, I have to tell you this quick story. I'm blessed to be a speaker at SCRC, you know, Southern California Renewal Conference, and give them a plug every Labor Day weekend. Anaheim Convention Center, and this year
it's
again.
A great event.
Yeah, great event. And so I had given a talk, and I had this woman came up to me afterwards, and this was on a Saturday, and she says, well, I have to talk to you. I have to talk to you. So I said, okay, well, you know, let's set up a time. And so after the Saturday night mass, she comes to me, and she was really active in her parish. She was actually down from the state of Washington. But she said, I blew it. I blew it. My life is over. I blew it because I committed this adulterous sin and now my life is over. I can no longer do it. And even though she was active in the church, she felt unforgiven. She felt condemned and she was condemning herself. And I said, who's whispering in your ear? It's not Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, maybe you feel that way. Maybe you had a woman who had an abortion. Maybe you did some horrible sin and you feel shame and the devil's whispering in your ear saying, oh, well, you can't go to church or you can't. That's what reconciliation's about. And take a look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation in those who believe in Christ Jesus. Jesus doesn't condemn us. He saves us.
Exactly. And the book of Revelation has that great canticle that priests and religious pray, I think it's Thursday evenings. It says that the accuser of our brothers is cast out, who night and day accused us before God. That Satan was cast out because he was the accuser. That's
awesome.
Who accuses us. And just recently I bought a new translation of the New Testament, and I started to read the Passion from Luke. And he says that he's trying to have a more literal translation and not polish it up as much as sometimes the others. And when it gets to the point of talking about Judas, normally we hear the devil entered Judas or Satan entered Judas. It's consistently the accuser entered Judas, that the evangelist is saying the one who is the evil one is known as the accuser. So when we've committed a sin and then we're feeling so ashamed that we can't go to church or we're guilty, just remember that's the accuser. But what's the other name for the accuser? The author of lies.
Amen.
Satan is the author of lies. So Satan will, as he's tempting you, he'll say, Deacon Steve, don't worry. Everybody does it. It's a new era. Everything will be fine. Nobody will know. Go for it. It'll be wonderful. And then the second you do it, how could you have done that? You're the worst person ever. You can't darken the doors of the church again after what you've done. How quickly he lies to us on both ways. And when we start recognizing that we're listening to the voice of the author of lies rather than Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, that frees us to say, I may feel embarrassed, I may feel ashamed, but I'm not condemned. God is not condemning me. The accuser is condemning me. but the one who loves me on the cross forgives my sins and is waiting there for me to go into that confessional and to experience that God was loving me even as I was committing that sin.
And Jesus told us through Ephesians, through St. Paul, and the letter to the Ephesians in chapter 1, that we are blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, verse 4, to be holy without blemish before him. In love, he destined us for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ in accordance with the favor of his will. The bottom line is this, and in verse 7, we have redemption by his blood, the forgiveness of transgressions, in accord with the riches of his grace that he lavishes upon us. When that really came into my heart, I said, wow, wow, I was chosen before the dawn of time to be holy, to be full of grace, every spiritual blessing, to be his adopted child. And then you start reading from, John 3, how much God loved us. He gave us his only begotten son, so whoever believes in him may have eternal life, and on and on and on and on and on. And the love letter and the good news of just how much God loves us unconditionally. My brothers and sisters, he loves you unconditionally, no matter what you've done. And the church has sacraments, the sacrament of reconciliation. It's one of the most important tools in the whole evangelization process. And I often will say, just come back to Jesus. His arms are wide open. Reconciliation is so important.
When I was in a parish, I changed the adult faith formation program in Spanish. And using this model that we can't catechize people that aren't evangelized, and that many of those people are there because their fiancé wants a wedding in the Catholic Church, so they have to get their sacraments. And so we had this whole process. It was going great. And then toward the end of it, I set a number of nights up for them to come to receive confession, because when you're confessing 20, 30, 40 years of sin, you can't expect them to run in on a Saturday afternoon and do it really quickly.
Right.
So the first night, I was meeting with them, and afterwards, the team was waiting for me, and they were pretty upset. And they said, we need to talk to you, Father. And I said, oh, okay. I said, we've worked hard. We got your vision of when you asked us to be part of this team of evangelizing and bringing people to Christ. And almost every single one of these people walking out were crying or had been crying, and you're ruining everything. And I said, tomorrow night, ask them why they're crying.
Holy Spirit tears.
They were tears of relief, tears
absolutely.
Of freedom, tears of that. Because what happened, they would confess whatever sins, and some had been in gangs and everything else and done horrific things. And I just spoke to them about, this is celebrating the fact that as you were doing that, God was in love with you and loving you. And the tears would naturally fall, and there were healing tears. There were tears of freedom and rejoicing that they were no longer carrying that. They started saying, I feel like I'm walking on air now. I feel that I'm in the clouds, that they had never experienced something so powerful. And that's what we deprive ourselves of when we don't receive this great sacrament.
My brothers and sisters, you have the ability to make such a big difference in the lives of many by telling them how much Jesus loves them unconditionally. And we at Spirit-Filled Hearts, we lead healing services and so forth. And when we pray over people in the word of knowledge as found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, often the Lord is saying to me, just tell them how much I love them. And so I'll just be whispering in their ear, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And so many times people just start crying.
Yes.
Because they never feel that Jesus loves them.
Yes.
They just see the sin and not the grace.
And we on the campus have a statue that was from Dr. Schuller's ministry of the woman caught in adultery and Jesus there. Now, I find it ironic. I think sometimes people don't know what the statue is because it's in a nice area with a little river and greenery. And so wedding couples are out there taking pictures. Like, I don't know that you want a picture of the adulterous woman as part of the background of your wedding portrait, but that's up to them. But Jesus didn't condemn her. He challenged the others, in fact, not to condemn her.
Right.
That he calls us not to condemn, because he calls us to build up, to be those people that whisper, God still loves you. No matter what's happened, God is in love with you. And to build up the body of Christ rather than to tear it down is what our call is as evangelizers, is to heal that body, to unite it, to be part that is obedient to Christ, who is the head, in whatever way we can.
My brothers and sisters, we're so blessed to have the Most Reverend Timothy Fryer, Auxiliary Bishop for the Diocese of Orange, with us talking about the call to evangelize. So wherever we go, we try to talk about evangelization so many times in our talks, seminars, and so forth. And as you might imagine, as you know, and you hear it too, you hear the various objections. Number one, I have no idea what to say. What would be the answer to that one?
You don't need theological degrees to talk about the people that you love. Just as you talk about your children, your family, and the good that they do, so you can on Monday morning say, you know, I was at Mass and the priest said X and it was really helpful for me. Or we heard this hymn and it's just been in my mind, simply sharing the good things that happened. Or I was really nervous last night and I prayed and all of a sudden God gave me peace. Just share how God is active in your life. Normal words. In fact, the lay person is more effective than I am, because when I say these things, in the back of their mind, people are saying, well, he's a priest. He's supposed to say that. But when, quote unquote, normal people say these things and share what God is doing, that's what's going to resonate. So you just share your experiences, share how God is loving you, and then invite people. So maybe you could say, yeah, I was at Mass and you know the music is really beautiful and inspiring. I think you might like it. What if next Sunday we go to Mass together and I'll take you out to lunch? That's
exactly.
Evangelizing.
Exactly.
No big words, nothing fancy, just this is a great experience. I'd like to share it with you.
We're called to, for invitation. We're called to invite people, which is really so, so important. I often say to people, you are the fifth gospel. Tell your story.
Yes.
What has Jesus done for you? I will ask them, and as you know, we've written a couple of different books regarding miracles, which the Catholic definition is God's supernatural intervention in your life. So I'll say, okay, this is the definition. Has God intervened in your life in a way that you just know that you know that you know it's from him? Raise your hand. And, you know, we often get, say, close to 100 people at our talks. Raise your hand. Believe it or not, maybe 90 to 95 people raise their hands. 90 to 95% raise their hands that God has supernaturally intervened in their lives. My brothers and sisters, ask yourself that question. Has something happened that you can't explain it? You know, it could be a phone call that you receive when someone said, you know what, I really felt like you needed prayer right now, and I called out of the blue. It could be a variety, a million different things. Jesus said very clearly, I'm not going to leave you an orphan. I'm not going to leave you an orphan. I've seen you, my Holy Spirit. And that's a big part of what evangelization is, that they're not alone.
Yes. The Holy Spirit is with us. Mary is with us. The saints are with us. We have the communion of the body of the church with us, that every time we're at Mass, we're not just me and Jesus, but we're there with our brothers and sisters in Africa and Asia. And through the whole course of history, we're all at this heavenly banquet, that we're never alone. And when we feel most alone is when we want to then, because of the enemy, isolate ourselves, find quick fixes. And yet when we stop and pray, God heals us. Suddenly we get that sense of God not being there. Or God is there. He's powerfully there. And sometimes he manifests himself in great ways. So for us, when we're feeling alone, go to Christ. But then because we belong to a community, then let's reach out to one another. And as you say, sometimes God will put in your heart to say, I'm going to call Mary and just let her know that I'm praying for her. Or I'm going to just say to Steve, hey, how are you doing? Is everything okay? And it's amazing that at those moments, that's when the person is most in need of somebody reaching out to them.
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. And my brothers and sisters, you are not alone. You are not alone. And God will never give up on you. Do not give up on yourself. Because what happens is the devil whispers in your ear, as you said, don't go to church. Don't go to the prayer meeting. Don't go to that function. You know, just don't show up. And when you have sinned, often the devil will try to isolate you, which is the worst possible thing that you can do, is to isolate yourself. That's why going back to Mass, reconciliation, so forth, is so critical. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're talking about the call to evangelize. You are on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back to talk more with Bishop Timothy Fryer.
Hey, friends, have you had the chance to check out our Empowered by the Spirit Patreon page yet? You're probably wondering, what is that? And what is Patreon? Well, it's a website and kind of a centralized hub of all the happenings and goings-on with Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. Like radio shows with your favorite guests, live conference talks on Catholic faith and spirituality, dynamic videos you can't find anywhere else, and coming very soon, audiobooks and a lot more. Simply go online to patreon.com/spiritfilledhearts. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N. patreon.com/spiritfilledhearts. Come visit today to see and hear what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit, and we're so blessed. And I could just go on for hours and hours and hours. This is my favorite subject, the call to evangelize, with the Most Reverend Timothy Fryer, Auxiliary Bishop for the Diocese of Orange. I've gotten to know the bishop, not as well as I'd like to. I want to spend more time with him. But I am just so thrilled about his zeal for Jesus and the call to evangelize. And we're talking about some objections that we both hear and everyone hears that is in the area of evangelization, which is should be all of us. As Bishop said, from baptism, we're called to be priest, prophet, and king. But so many people feel like, well, that's not my job. First of all, I'm not called to do it. And second is, my faith is private. I don't want to impose on other people. Your thoughts on that?
I think it's one thing to invite a person, it's another to impose on a person. So, for example, I could say, hey, Deacon Steve, after this, do you want to go to lunch? That's an invitation. You're free to say yes or no. Or
you can bank on it. You know, I'm there, okay?
There's just an example today. Okay. I know you're running around.
I'm just kidding. Okay.
It's another thing for me to tie you up, throw you in the trunk of my car, and force you to eat lunch with me.
Yes.
That's an imposition.
Yes.
But an invitation, there's no immediate necessary response from the other person. So when I invite, I'm not imposing my faith. When I speak of what the Lord is calling us to do individually, as a community, as a nation, I'm not imposing myself on others. I'm just speaking what God wants me to hear. And another person can say what they think God is asking us to do as an individual, as a country, as a world, whatever the case. But an invitation is never an imposition.
I think what's happened is you see these people holding up the signs, you know, or people handing out what's called tracts, you know, a message, or people on street corners. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. But often it turns us off because they're kind of in your face. Or you see people trying to tell you what to do. You need to do this. You need to do that. But that's not really evangelization, at least from our perspective. Evangelization is sharing what has God done for you.
Yes.
You know, why do you love Jesus? As I like to say to people in church or, you know, if I'm giving a homily, I'll say, why'd you come today? You came for a reason. You came because you have faith. You came because you believe. That faith that made you come to Mass or made you come to an event, share why you're doing that to someone else. For you,
yes.
What does it mean to you? You know, and when you do that, people can't argue with that.
No. No, when you share your experience and your relationship with Christ, you're not entering a theological debate. You're not going into minutia of doctors of the church saying X, Y, or Z. You're just talking about how God is working in your life, just as you might talk about something that happened in your family. I can't argue with you about how you did X in your family life. That's just sharing your experience. So the idea that I'm imposing or that my faith is private, our faith is not private. We're relational people. We share through talking with one another in person, through phone calls, through texts, through emails, through social media. We're constantly sharing about our life. If you were to put up a picture of your trip, you're not imposing on me. You're just sharing with me the good thing that happened on your vacation. If you say what God is doing for you, you're not imposing, and you're just inviting me to think, would my life be fuller if I had that in my life? if I had Christ in my life, would my life be more blessed? Would I find that joy, that peace and happiness that Deacon Steve has that I don't? And I think that's the other thing, that the more we show that joy, the more we show our sense of humor, the more it's attractive. Jesus didn't go around and force people to follow him. In fact, in John 6, when he gave us the great teaching on the Eucharist, yes, a couple of the disciples said, I can't eat your body and drink your blood. That's too much for me. I'm leaving. And these were disciples who had been with him, who had seen the multiplication of loaves, who had seen his power to change physical things, who had heard his teaching, and at that point, that's too much. I can't do this. And Jesus didn't run after them saying, wait, you can't go. Wait, I'll change the teaching because I need you to always be here with me. Rather, he turned to the others and said, if you would like to leave, you're free to go. He never obliges us.
But the truth is the truth is the truth.
Yes.
And he's giving the truth as to what that's all about. And my brothers and sisters, the most gentle thing, the most loving thing you can do is just sharing your faith and sharing your faith about how much that God loves you and to open up your heart to receive that love. You know, one of my favorite chapters is Luke chapter 11. And people say, well, I don't even know where to begin. Well, let's begin with Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Ask and you'll receive. Ask, Lord, use me. I often say 100% ratio between your wanting to be used and the fact that Jesus will use you. Exactly. Ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. And then it says in Luke 11, if we who are wicked, who know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Father in heaven give us the Holy Spirit for those who ask for it? It's the Holy Spirit through you that gives you the words to say.
Yes. And as a priest, there are times where I've preached something and the Holy Spirit had a different message for a person, and that was a message that they need. I'm sure you, when you preach, have had the same experience. Right. And after Mass, they come out and say, Father, thank you. When you said that, that just healed this wound in me. That's wonderful. I didn't say it. That was the Holy Spirit speaking
Amen.
To you directly through
it's
me.
It's amazing.
That the Holy Spirit is willing to speak to us in our heart through others. And what's the Holy Spirit call us to? Conversion of heart, deeper love of Christ, and to be empowered and emboldened like the apostles on Pentecost, where they, without fear, were now boldly proclaiming Jesus Christ. Just think from Easter Sunday when they were riddled with fear, hiding in the upper room, to Pentecost 50 days later, they're boldly proclaiming Christ without any fear of consequence because of the resurrection of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, that God will transform us in mighty ways if we invite the Lord and call the Holy Spirit down upon us. But sometimes we're too timid to ask. And
my brothers and sisters, ask and you will receive. You know, I one of my favorite stories is this little girl came running up to me. I prayed over her at SCRC. There was about 150 children that we prayed over, ages 5 to 12, and my wife and I prayed over them on a Saturday. Sunday morning, I'm walking to give a talk. The mother and the little girl, about 7-year-old, came running up to me and stopped me, and the mother said, oh, my daughter was so excited. You prayed over her, but she has a question. And the little girl looks at me, and her eyes were just so bright, you know, and she goes, Deacon, did I receive the Holy Spirit at baptism? And I said, wow, yeah, that's great. Then she asked me, Bishop, the most important question that I have ever heard in 40 years of ministry. She looks at me, her eyes just widen even more, and she cocked her head, and she said, if I receive the Holy Spirit at baptism, why is he hiding?
Wow.
You see, that's what it's all about. You have to ask for the Holy Spirit to be released within you.
Yes.
Enkindle in me the fire of the Holy Spirit. When you ask for the Holy Spirit to be released, he will 100% be released within you.
Yes, he's waiting to. But again, the Lord never obliges us. He never imposes himself on us. And so the Holy Spirit's there waiting to transform our lives, but he's never going to force us to be transformed. God loves us so much, he gives us the grace to accept or reject his love. He gives us the grace to call upon him if we so choose. But God will never force us to be his disciples. He'll never force us to fall in love with us. He wants us to call upon him. And the moment we do, he's there in a heartbeat, thrilled with joy that we're calling upon him. That's what he's been longing for. It goes back to the comments that we shared earlier about Jesus thirsting for us. The Holy Spirit will never force himself upon us. But the moment we ask, he comes in power and glory to transform us.
My brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I love Christmas, right? You know, Yes. You love Christmas. You love the reason for the season. But you also love giving presents and you love getting presents. Well, I love giving presents. Think about, for example, people you love and you just give them these wonderful presents and they don't open them. Or you have been given presents. Your name's on this huge box and you don't open it. That's exactly what happens when we don't fully embrace the grace that God has given us, that he wants to give us the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He wants to shower us with love, but we have to open our hearts. That's the message of evangelization, is to say, open up your heart to receive what God has in store for you.
Yeah, and when we open up our heart, that's transformed. Our heart becomes more like the heart of Christ, which is full of mercy and compassion and love, and that unconditional love, and desires the good for all of our brothers and sisters. So I then no longer see another person as a competitor or an enemy. I see them now in a new way. When my heart is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm not judging people. I'm seeing their weakness and I'm praying for them.
Exactly.
Not in a critical way, and I'm not condemning the person. I'm saying, this action may have been wrong. They must really be suffering that they would have done something like that. I'm going to pray for them. That when the Holy Spirit transforms our heart becomes that merciful heart of Christ. Jesus says, don't condemn and you won't be condemned. Don't judge and you won't be judged. The measure with which we judge will be measured out to us. So when we ask that Holy Spirit to transform our heart and we have that heart of Christ, all of a sudden, we're at peace. Because at 2 a.m, I'm not upset about what happened at work and how that person slighted me or they said some snide comment to me, because I've already recognized that they probably did it unintentionally. They're probably having a bad day. They're probably weak. I prayed for them, and I'm at peace.
Amen. Amen. So our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts, is taking a very lead role with Divine Mercy and the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Our guess is maybe 1 out of 10 people really understand it, and you know, some churches spend time on it and so forth. But the whole concept, what St. John Paul II did with St. Faustina and so forth, the whole concept of Divine Mercy is really an important part of evangelization. Because if we don't understand the mercy of Christ, it's hard for us to feel forgiven. It's hard for us to embrace the love of God.
Yes, and if we don't feel forgiven by Christ, then we're not going to want to be with him. We go back to the book of Genesis with the fall of Adam and Eve. God, before that, would come down from heaven every afternoon, and he'd walk with Adam in paradise. And so God then, even after they sinned, God still comes down from heaven ready to walk with Adam in paradise. But what's happened? Adam has isolated himself. He's hiding in the bushes because he's heard the voice of the enemy. But God was still ready to engage. We're the ones that flee when we sin. And so when we have the sense of the mercy of God, we are courageous in coming back to him and not isolating, not fleeing, because the Lord still wants to be in relationship with us even after our sinfulness. That's the mercy that he has for us, that even though we're still sinners, God calls us into relationship with him.
Understanding God's mercy, my brothers and sisters, opening up our heart to understand that is life-changing.
It is.
It's life-changing because we don't feel condemned. We feel loved. We feel accepted exactly where we are. My brothers and sisters, we're so blessed to have the Most Reverend Timothy Fryer on the air with us here on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back to talk more about the call to evangelize. My friends, I know that you're in love with Jesus Christ. That's the reason why you're listening to this show. And I know you want to support ministries that are on fire for Jesus. If you enjoy this show, if you enjoy supporting ministries that are on fire with Jesus and want to evangelize young adults, want to evangelize everyone about the power of the Holy Spirit, about how much God loves them, then prayerfully consider to support our ministry, Spiritful Hearts, to go to our website, spiritfulhearts.org. Take a look under the donate button. You can become a monthly partner. Please pray and please be moved by the Holy Spirit. No one outdoes God's generosity. Thank you for your love, your support, your prayers, and thank you for your financial contributions.
Go to spiritfilledhearts.org and click donate. That's spiritfilledhearts.org and click donate.
It's Deacon Steve Greco, and we're back here on Empowered by the Spirit with the Most Reverend Timothy Fryer, Auxiliary Bishop for the Diocese of Orange. One of my favorite people. I just want to say that.
I'm not sucking up.
It's true, because we both love Jesus, as certainly so many of us do. But he has a particular love of evangelization and is responsible for that for the Diocese of Orange. The title of this show has been and is The Call to Evangelize. There are people now, well, let me just step back. I feel when I was learning how to type way back when, right, in the dark ages, there was this phrase, now is a time for all good men to come forth to aid of their country. I don't know if you remember that.
I remember that, too, on my little IBM.
Yeah, and so I kind of, you know, changed that around, and now is a time for all good men and women to come to aid of their church, the Catholic Church. Now is the time to evangelize more than ever.
Yes.
Because we are, let's face it, I mean, let's call it the way it is, there are challenges in the church. You know, there's been scandals and so forth, and people say, well, how can you evangelize within the Catholic Church and so forth? And yet, for me, now's the time more than ever not to retreat, but to go forward, because the message of the salvation of Jesus Christ needs to be heard more than ever, and not the clutter. I'm not dismissing it, but focus on what is the most important thing. But we do have a challenge with what's going on. Your thoughts on that, Bishop?
The scandals have been terrible for the victims in particular, but for all of us as part of the body of Christ. We know that when one member suffers, the whole body suffers. And it's been embarrassing, and the sins that were committed are horrific. It's been a challenge for me, for example, when I know of some of these cases of abuse, to pray for the victim, but that's easy. Praying for the abuser, that's hard. But as a Christian, I'm called to pray for those who have committed grave sins and to ask God to heal them and to comfort them. At the same time, it makes many Catholics embarrassed to say that they're Catholic, because they've heard from coworkers, why would you go to church with all these evil priests? Why would you go to church with all these evil bishops? The reality is that we don't go to church because of the priest. We go to the church because of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ acts through the priest, acts through the bishops, acts through the person proclaiming the word of God. But our relationship is with Christ, and Christ created the church. The church didn't just come about 500 years later. Christ called us to be in communion with one another. He never sent the disciples off by themselves. He always called them to go by pairs, at least. So there's always that relationship, that communion. One of the things, too, I think, is that some in the media have distorted what has happened. I remember when the Pennsylvania grand jury report came out, and there now we found out problems even with the accuracy of that. But a person came to me and said, so there are 300 priests that last year were abusing kids in Philadelphia? And I said, no, this is going back decades. And in fact, in the last number of years, it's one hand that you can count them on. Most of it was 1960 to 1985. Oh, yes, we had terrible times back then. Since 2002, the church is probably the safest place to have a minor because of all the safe environment training we do and now the psychological screening. And I think sometimes just reading up on the facts of what the church has done since 2002 will allow a person to have the confidence, if they're confronted by this objection, to say, I understand why you're saying that I shouldn't even hear about the Catholic Church given the scandals, but let's talk truthfully about what the scandals are and when they happened. And then move from that to focusing back on Jesus Christ. I'm not hurting the church when I choose not to come to Mass. I'm hurting myself.
Amen.
I'm denying myself the presence of Jesus Christ in my own body when I receive Holy Communion. I'm denying myself the presence of the community gathered together in prayer with and for me. So why would I harm myself in my relationship with Jesus Christ? Because the moment I do that, I give the people that committed these sins power over my relationship with Christ. They don't deserve that power.
Amen.
They have no right over my relationship with Jesus Christ. They could do whatever they want, but the moment I choose, because I choose at that moment to give them power when I say, because of what they did, I'm going to do X.
Amen.
They're the worst people to have power over our relationship with Christ.
My brothers and sisters, please pray for me because we're in the process of writing our fifth book, which is Miracles Through Forgiveness. And forgiveness is so critical. Lack of forgiveness is like drinking poison thinking it's going to hurt someone else.
Exactly.
The reality is when you don't forgive the people who have sinned in the church, and certainly it has been horrific, but when you focus on unforgiveness and animosity and so forth, all you're doing is hurting yourself, and you're not helping. You're not helping the situation. So we're all broken. I mean, the reality is that who is not a sinner? We all need a savior.
Yes.
That's the point. I think it would be fair to say that all religious need a savior, correct?
Yes.
And so it's not like if you become a priest, a bishop, a pope, or anyone, a deacon, obviously, well, especially deacons. But the bottom line is that we need a savior because we're sinners.
Yes. I don't know if it's true, but I've read a number of places. You know, St. John Paul was in confession almost every day, and yet was a saint. But I think, same with Mother Teresa, as they grow toward that holiness, they're so keenly aware of even the small venial sins that they commit and how that separates them from Christ. I wish I was at that level of holiness. I'm not. I'm a sinner. And so I need to continue to pray for my own sanctification. Because sanctification doesn't come with ordination. You know, we tell the men who are in formation, as you are now, you'll be as a priest or as a deacon, that you don't get a lobotomy. You don't have your whole soul changed. So you need to strive for sanctification, asking the Holy Spirit to empower you, asking Christ to be with you, asking St. Michael, the Blessed Mother, the saints, your guardian angel to be praying for you.
Amen.
And take advantage of all the tools and resources we have so that we can, God willing, be that holy person that Christ has called us to.
Pray the rosary every day. Pray Divine Mercy Chaplet. You know, go to adoration. Go to daily Mass. Frequent reconciliation. We all need it. It's
yes.
Not like, you know, I mean, we're all weak. We're all broken. And we all have issues that we had in life and so forth. Now, we're blessed to be on 45 stations and 2 radio networks this show will air on. So different parts of the Western United States and actually different parts of the country that will be hearing this, what advice do you have to them for them as it relates to really enhancing their evangelization efforts within their diocese?
I think the first thing is be comfortable talking about your faith in Jesus Christ. And sometimes I've just had people practice in a prayer group. Okay, let's pretend that you're not in the prayer group. You're a coworker. And so let's practice and let's role play. How do you talk to your coworker on Monday morning about what happened? Give ourselves the courage to realize that I actually could say this pretty well and it felt good. And the person didn't get upset. So one is practicing yourself so that you can be that evangelizer. And then start going to your parish and say, I think we need to be more evangelistic. We need to be more welcoming. We need to be praying more consistently and intentionally for the people that live within our territory, that God will give them the grace of conversion and draw them to Christ. And we need to have formal training so that all of us in our parish and then eventually in our diocese are comfortable and naturally just praying with and for one another, sharing how God is doing great things in our lives, calling upon the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love so that we can be that message of love to others. But I think challenging your priest too. If your priests don't seem to be open to going outside of the people that come to Sunday Mass, challenge them because they're called to be shepherds of souls of every single person living in that territory, not just the ones that come to Mass. We have Ash Wednesday, opportunity for great conversion as we show hospitality and good music and conversion. Palm Sunday, Holy Week. This is a perfect time in these months coming up where people who frequently aren't at church will be there. So maybe your way of showing the love of Christ is to not get upset if somebody sits in your same seat. And if they're there, to not go and make the negative face, but say, hey, welcome. How are you doing? Good to see you. And just initiate them.
Or honking the horn on the exit of the church parking lot, right?
Oh, that would never happen.
That never happened. But it is so important to understand that we have to make evangelization a priority.
Yes, because it's not about us saying in the Diocese of Orange, we have how many people now that are Catholic, or in the Diocese of wherever. It's not about that. It's about that person's soul, the person to whom you're called to speak to could be saved by this encounter, could end up back in a relationship with Jesus
Amen.
Christ. That's what it's about. It's not about numbers. It's not about an institution. It's not about programs. Programs sometimes are excellent to help further the process of evangelization. We have a number of them in our diocese happening with Alpha, with different amazing parish, dynamic parish, etc. But really, it's for that person that we're called to speak to today. We could plant the seed that could change their life for eternity.
Forever and ever and ever, my brothers and sisters. It's a huge responsibility, and we have been called for that. We have been called to make a difference. And, you know, there are some theologians that say that we're asked a question when we see Jesus in heaven, and that question is, who'd you bring with you?
Yes.
Isn't that a great question?
That, I mean, it is.
Who did you bring with you? My brothers and sisters, pray to be used by our Lord Jesus Christ to make a difference with the people he brings in your life. It's that simple.
That's it.
They will bring people to, Jesus will bring people to you.
Yes.
Out of the blue, on an airplane, you know, in a parking lot, in a grocery store, at a sporting event, whatever. You know, at so many different ways, someone will come to you and just tell them how much they're loved by Jesus Christ.
Yes. And again, no fancy language. We look at Jesus. He used language that was identifiable to the people to whom he spoke. He was speaking about farming because he was talking to farmers. He was speaking about the weather and how the weather gave signs. We don't have to have fancy words. We just speak from the heart. And if we're speaking from the heart of love of Christ, the Holy Spirit will transmit the message.
Amen. Do you have any final thoughts for our listening audience?
I think the main thing is what Jesus says, what St. John Paul continued to say is, be not afraid.
Amen.
If you speak about God's love, be not afraid. It's not going to be terrible. It's not going to be horrific. And God will love you. And if somebody rejects you, rejoice and be glad. Your reward will be great in heaven, as Jesus
Amen.
Reminds us.
Amen. Well, 365 times at least, Jesus said, do not fear, be not afraid. And that is the message that Jesus is giving us. Bishop, it's been just such a blessing to have you on the show, and please come back again.
I always enjoy being here. Thank you very
much. And would you give us a final blessing?
Sure. May Almighty God bless and protect you in body, mind, and spirit, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Well, I am really, really excited about a book that I wrote, Be Not Afraid, and we're going to cover that book in detail on our next show with Katie Hughes and Martha Garduno. This book is changing lives in this time of fear and trial with the pandemic. So you want to make sure that you mark your calendar to listen to next week's show on Be Not Afraid. God bless you.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit. This program is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about our mission, visit spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. And if this podcast has been a blessing to you, please consider partnering with us financially. Your generous gifts are the fuel to keep these powerful podcasts coming to you. Go to spiritfilledhearts.org and click donate on the front of the screen. That's spiritfilledhearts.org and click donate. And be sure to tell a friend about our program and encourage them to tune in as well. Until next time, may Almighty God bless you and protect you. I'm waiting for the day when I
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.